Today we're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 5. Let's go ahead and start reading in verse 5. The Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of all of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this passage of Scripture. I thank you for this wonderful description of your Son Jesus. Lord, I pray that as we look at what he has done and who he is, that we would be overwhelmed with gratitude and joy. That we would, because of that gratitude, submit ourselves in humility to your will. That we would take on the same mind that your Son Jesus took on when he came to this earth. Lord, I pray that you would help us to learn this valuable principle of humility, that you may be able to be pleased with our lives and exalt us someday, just as you did your Son Jesus. We thank you, Father, for this time together. I pray that your Spirit would be working on our hearts now. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The passage before us today is filled with theological teaching. In other words, it tells us a lot about the person and work of Jesus Christ. However, we don't want to miss the main lesson that the Apostle Paul is trying to relay to us. And that main lesson can be found in verse 5. Look at it again. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So the main lesson of this whole passage, the whole reason that Paul's given this dissertation on the person and work of Jesus Christ, is this. In this explanation of Jesus Christ, it is that Christ's example of humility should motivate us to conform our minds to emulate him. So the whole lesson here is that we would take Christ's example of humility and conform our minds to emulate or copy what he did, how he humbled himself, the attitude that he had, the task that he was willing to take on. So we want to be able to think like Jesus as we look at our role in this world. That's what Jesus did. He looked at his role in this world and he humbled himself to the obedience of God the Father. And that's what he wants us to do. This is the whole lesson of this passage of Scripture. It reminds us that Jesus is our perfect example on how we should think and act in our lives. Please remember that. That if we want to put on the mind of Christ, it's all about us imitating or emulating the thoughts and actions of Jesus Christ. That is what we should be shooting for in our lives. We need to be mindful that we should be trying our very best to think and act like Jesus. Because to do so is the pinnacle of our existence. Do you understand that? Do you understand that the very best existence you can have, that the very best thing that you can do with your life is to think and act like Jesus? That is the very best thing you can do with your life. And so if you want to reach the pinnacle of living, then we must act and think like Jesus. So let's take a look at this passage and see how we can emulate the humility of Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 6 again. It says, "Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant." So, the first thing I see here is this. We can emulate the humility of Jesus by accepting the role of a servant. We can emulate the humility of Jesus by accepting the role of a servant. Here we see Paul explain how the highest, most magnificent person in existence took on the lowly role of a servant. Let there be no doubt, Jesus is God. We see these phrases, didn't think it was robbery to be equal with God, and being in the form of God. Jesus is God. So, a little theological teaching here. Jesus is 100% God. He's not a little God. He is God. Okay? He is God. The highest, most magnificent person in the universe. None higher than him. His name is above all names. He is the perfect person, and he is above everyone in existence. Yet, Jesus, as the creator of all, perfect in every way, the one who deserves to be worshipped and served by all, became the servant of all. Think about that for a minute. Jesus Christ, the one who is above all, the one who deserves to be served by everyone because he is the creator of everyone and everything, became the servant of everyone. He became the servant of all. No greater distance could a person go to humble themselves than what Jesus did when he took on the form of a servant, when he became our servant. Understand that. This is a big deal. This is huge. And it took perfect humility to do such a task, to be able to do what Jesus did in coming down to our level, was an enormous act of humility. And for him to do that for us is something that we should not take lightly. By taking on the role of a servant, he forfeited his rightful reputation as king of the universe. This thought should overwhelm us to the point of gratitude for our awesome Savior. It should also motivate us to take on our role as servants of the Lord, to do whatever he calls us to do, but be that servant, to be in that role. Oftentimes we think of being a Christian as being a beneficiary, of just being a beneficiary of all the blessings of God. But that is not our role. Our role is one as a servant. But what we need to understand is that is our greatest role in life. The greatest role you can have in life is to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our greatest. So forfeiting any claim to our status or reputation in this world to serve the Lord and others should be something that we are willing to do. Understand that. Now, I want to talk to you about a man named Bob Feller. Bob Feller, a pitcher for the Cleveland Indians, back around World War II, had already thrown a no-hitter and won 107 games in the major leagues when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. Feller volunteered to fight for his country at the age of 23. After the war, Bob returned to pitching and had 3 no-hitters, 12 one-hitters, and won 266 games. But his years of military service cost Bob much of the fame he deserved. When baseball fans elected the All-Century team in 1999, Bob and his 266 victories were ignored in favor of 2 other pitchers. Some suggest Feller may have been the most underrated player in baseball. Feller was once asked if he regretted his wartime service. "No," he said. "I've made many mistakes in life. That wasn't one of them." Now, I say, give you this illustration of this great man for 2 reasons. First of all, it's Memorial Day, and I want us to remember some of these great men that have sacrificed their reputation and fame to serve us and to fight for our freedom. And this man certainly did that. But I also want you to understand that that's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to be willing to forfeit our stardom, our fame, our rightful status in society, and humble ourselves to become a servant of the Lord. That's what he wants us to do. Bob Feller forfeited his status as a star athlete to serve his country. We need to forfeit our social status. We need to be willing to forfeit our social status. We need to be willing to forfeit our reputation in order to be a servant of the Lord. That's what Jesus did for us. He forfeited his status and reputation so that he could become a servant to us. I think we should do the same. I think we ought to be willing to do that. And it takes humility to do that. And so we need to humble ourselves and conform our minds so that we will be willing to take on the role of a servant. We ought to be humble enough to forfeit our status and reputation in this world to serve God and others because Jesus humbled himself so he could save us from our sins. You realize that Jesus didn't do this so that he could get more fame and glory. The motivation for Jesus doing this is what? For God so loved the world, right? He loved us so much. That's why he came. That's why he took on the form of a servant. Because he loved and cared enough for us to do it. Not so that he could have more fame and more fortune, but because he knew that we needed him. And we needed him to pay for our sins. Understand, that's why Jesus came. He came because you needed him. That should put aside all your pride. That should help make you want to just put aside your pride and be humble enough to be his servant. Why? Because he became your servant because you needed him. He took on the role of a servant, and we should as well. Now, look at verse 7. It says, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Secondly, we can emulate the humility of Jesus by accepting the task of a servant. Here we see how Jesus took on his human state so he could accomplish the task that he was assigned to. Jesus took on the human state so he could accomplish the task that he was assigned to. Now, like John said, the Word became flesh. Jesus, being the Word, a spiritual being, became a human being, like us in every way, minus the sinful nature. Okay? Now, I say that, I'm trying to do a little theological teaching here as well. I say that to help us understand that Jesus wasn't just a spiritual form of a human being. He was actually a human being. Now, we see these two words, likeness and appearance. These two phrases are describing a physical state and mental capabilities of a man. Okay? Understand that. This isn't just saying he as a spirit looked like a man. But no, he was an actual man. Sometimes in our translation of words, we lose some of the meaning. Well, I want you to understand that these two words, likeness and appearance, are describing what he really was. Okay? Not just appearing to be, but what he really was. He really was 100% man. What does that mean? Well, Jesus was a man. He learned things. He developed skills. He felt pain. He could be tempted. We see all these things in the New Testament describing Jesus. So he wasn't just a spiritual form of a man. He was an actual man. He is God, so he's 100% God, and he was man. So Jesus is the God-man, okay? He is 100% both of those things, minus the sinful nature of man. So Jesus humbled himself and became a man so he could be an obedient servant. That's what Jesus did. He humbled himself and became a man so that he could be an obedient servant. That obedience required he accept a horrible task. That obedience as a man required that he accept a horrible task. What was that task? It was the task of being crucified and dying a horrible, horrible death. The task was to die by crucifixion, the most horrible and insulting way a man could die. It was such an insulting way for a man to have to die that it was impolite to talk about it. It was a horrible, humiliating thing. It was a humiliating task. And it was a horrific thing that Jesus had to go through. That task, though, took such great humility that he was willing to take on. Jesus has such great humility that he was willing to take on the most degrading task in order to obey God's will. Now, let me ask you, are you willing to take on even the most degrading task in order to perform God's will? Or are some things just beneath you to do? Are you too good to do some things for the Lord? When I graduated from college, I became the associate pastor of a church in Woodbridge, Virginia. And the pastor there was able to clearly describe my task and what my job description was. You know, in college, one can get a warped view of the tasks of the ministry. Sometimes in college, you get this glamorous view of what the ministry and the tasks of the ministry are. Well, my pastor clarified those tasks very well when he said to me, he said, "Your job is everything from cleaning the toilets to preaching the word." That's what he said to me. That's your job description. Everything from cleaning the toilets to preaching the word. And you know what? While I was there, I did everything from cleaning the toilets to preaching the word. And you know what? That's what it's all about. Serving the Lord, whatever the task may be. However lowly we might think it is, being willing to do it, understanding that there is no lowly task in the will of God. If God calls you to a task, it's the highest, most wonderful task you could be called to. Understand that. Whatever that may be. Digging a ditch out here, putting on a stone, all the stuff that we had to do to build this church. Sure, mixing cement, right? All those things. Whatever the task was that God called you to do, it wasn't the lowest thing you could do. It was the loftiest thing you could do because it was the task that God called you to. That's what we need to understand in our minds. That's what we need to see. You see, if I am not willing to take on the lowliest of tasks, then I am not fit for the loftiest of tasks. What I have found is if I humble myself and accept whatever task God has for me, I find a well of blessings. A well of blessings. F.B. Meyer said this, "I used to think that God's gifts were on shelves one above another, and that the taller we grew in Christian character, the easier we could reach them. I now find that God's gifts are on shelves one beneath the other. It is not a question of growing taller, but of stooping lower, that we have to go down, always down, to get the best gifts." And that's what we need to remember. That's the mindset. That's the mindset of Christ that we need to have. Jesus found his greatest accomplishment was in the lowliest task that he had to accomplish. Think about that for a minute. Is there any event in the history of the universe, any event in the history of the universe, greater than what Jesus did on the cross? Any event greater in history than what Jesus did on the cross? No. We would all have to say, absolutely not. Because on that cross is where he took on the sins of the world and provided and paid for our eternal life. So, you see what see the principle here. The lowliest, most degrading task that Jesus was assigned to was the greatest event in all of history. And where the greatest blessings come from. So, when I look at the task that God calls me to, I should be willing and humble enough to accept whatever that task may be, knowing that it may be that lowest of task that I might look at as degrading that will bring the greatest benefits and blessings in my life. That is the mindset that God wants us to have. That is the mindset that Jesus had, and that is how we can emulate him and his humility. If we are willing to take on the task of a servant. So let's be willing to take on whatever task God wants us to do so we can be like Jesus. Remember, humility leads to greatness. Humility leads to greatness. And greatness is being like Jesus. Greatness is being like Jesus. Now, finally, we can emulate the humility of Jesus by accepting the inheritance of a servant. We can emulate the humility of Jesus by accepting the inheritance of a servant. Look at verse 9. It says, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. So, because Jesus humbled himself, God exalted him above all and has planned a future inheritance that includes the total reign of all the universe. That is what is in store for Jesus Christ. That is his future reward and inheritance. Now, remember we learned in Ephesians that we share in the inheritance of Jesus Christ? Remember as we went through the book of Ephesians, we found that truth that God has this wonderful inheritance planned for Jesus, and all those who believe in Jesus share in that inheritance? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. It's just a couple pages back in your Bible. And I think you'll see what I'm talking about. And I want to enforce this teaching. It's found in verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, it says, in him, Jesus, also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things, according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory. So clearly, this passage shows us that in Jesus Christ, we have this inheritance, this future reward awaiting us. And it's because Jesus was willing to humble himself and pay for our sins, just like it said, the purchased possession. It was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. by him shedding his blood on the cross and rising again. And because of what he did, all those who trust in Jesus share in this future reward. We have this wonderful future reward in heaven. Now, it is not an instant reward, but it is a reward worth waiting for. And it's going to take humility in order to wait. It's going to take humility in order for us to wait for this. Now, remember, Jesus was tempted by the devil. The devil took Jesus up onto a mountain, and he showed him this vast amount of country with all that was there and said, look, I'll make sure you get all of this. I'll make sure you get wealth. I'll make sure you get fame. Just worship me. And Jesus, being tempted, denied it, of course, and didn't allow Satan to make him forfeit his future inheritance for the temporary of this world. We need to remember to do the same thing. Oftentimes, we are tempted by this world, and we're tempted by the fame of this world. We're tempted by the fortune of this world. And we've got to be careful that we don't forfeit the riches and inheritance that we have in Christ for the temporary. Now, we know that we'll have reward in heaven. And we know that Christ has this wonderful reward for us. And that reward will increase as we are humble and accept the will and tasks that the Lord calls us to. So, understand, accepting that inheritance starts with trusting in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But it increases as we humble ourselves as servants of the Lord and do His will. That's what we need to understand. So, humble yourself and accept that inheritance in Jesus Christ. And understand that that inheritance is not necessarily going to come in this world, but in the world to come. And be humble enough to wait for that inheritance. That is what we need to see here. We need to see that Jesus Christ, the most awesome, magnificent person in all existence, took on the form of a lowly servant so that we could have our sins forgiven and so that we could share in his future inheritance for all eternity. And because he was so humble, we ought to be humble and be willing to take on whatever tasks he calls us to. Be willing to take on the role of a servant. Be willing to put aside our pride and selfish ambition and do the will of the Father. That is what it means to put on the mind of Christ. Let's pray.